Stay with these guys now. Coach them up. Keep them going.
The Pete Carroll Show. The first word from the Seahawks head coach every Monday at 9:30 with Brock and Saul.
That's exactly what you want!
Presented by Banner Bank, VenueKings.com, and Les Schwab Tires on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Good morning.
Good morning. What's up?
A lot. It was a really entertaining football game yesterday to watch. How was it on the sideline?
Yeah, that was really a fantastic football game. It was great to see our guys answer on offense so consistently throughout the game. 5 out of 6 drives we scored, and able to run the football as well as we've ever run the football. And physical was there. You know, we were knocking them off the ball, and the guys were running hard. Chris really, and Mike too, really just brought a bunch of attitude with their style, and it just adds to the whole flavor of what we're putting together. And you can see how we're putting it, building it, and where it's going.
How physical was it on the field?
Yeah, it was really a tough game. It was, they're kind of a finesse group where they're trying to air it out for the most part, and they did their thing, but they couldn't deny the way we went after it, the line of scrimmage was good, and you could see when Big George came in, he added some real element and really blocked well and just made it that much more tough.
Say that, it's interesting. The last few years they've owned this matchup from their defensive line has found ways into your backfield and shutting down the running game by penetrating, etc. You didn't see any of that yesterday.
No, there really wasn't. And they're as good inside as they've been, Barron coming back was a factor. He played well in the game. You could see him all over the place. So it was, I think it was a big opportunity for us that we missed. Unfortunately, we had a chance to beat those guys here, get it done. The game was ours to be had. We could have done it about 3 or 4 different ways down the stretch. And in the fourth quarter, we weren't able to get that drive that we needed. We weren't able to get that stop we needed. Either way, we could have taken the game over. And it was a fantastic day at CenturyLink.
I don't know if you're ever in this position, but as I call these games, or some of these games, you just feel like going in, I got a pretty good sense, scheme wise, personnel wise, what this could and should look like, and ultimately does. Did you have a sense going into that one that you could kind of manhandle them at the line of scrimmage, that you could play that style?
Well, we went in with, I've said to these guys on numbers of occasions that if we play like we're capable, we make the other team look kind of normal. And this was a really high-flying, terrific football team in all aspects. Basically featuring their offense, though. The offense has been the featured aspect of them, and with all the numbers and all that. But the defense has taken advantage of that. And they've only given up 60 yards a game rushing or something, so we thought – I didn't know that it would be as physical as it was, and we would roll off line of scrimmage like that. I didn't know that it would be like that against them, but that was the way we wanted to play, and it came across, and you could see how it fit together. And they were scoring one way, we were scoring a different way, but it was it led to a great matchup.
How much of an impact does DJ Fluker have on that?
He's part of it. He's a substantial part. He's. And like we keep talking about his spirit and his attitude is great. Fits particularly well to what we're doing and with Coach Solari and with Shadi and how we're trying to get across the message and all that. But also, all those guys played well. They all played tough and came off the ball. And there was nobody that wasn't on it yesterday.
How do you call holding there? I mean, what I know that you don't actually have an answer for this, and I don't want to get you in trouble for it, but...
We don't have the money to pay the fine either.
Isn't there holding like that on every play?
Well, I'm sending them probably 18 plays that they can look at their guys, during the course of the game. My point was that, it happens all day long. Then how come right then, and why would that be the time? Because Fluke had his hands inside really nice, and he's grabbing the breastplate, but his hands are tough and all that. But those are calls you could make on almost every play, and I demonstrated that just to show them theirs, And theirs was different. They block differently than we do. Our guys, for the whole game, were really fighting tough to keep their hands in and all of that. And it's just that moment. It's unfortunate. But that's how it goes. We had to overcome it. We didn't get it done.
You talk about the style that you wanted to play offensively. What was the plan defensively?
Well, we wanted to make sure that they couldn't run the football and control it there, which really was accomplished except for the one fly play that got out on us. They had 90-something yards rushing. If I'd have known that Gurley's going to have 70-something yards rushing, I thought that's a good day. That's a good day against him. And we can 3-something a rush. We would not have let him run the game like he can sometimes. And so that was part of it. And then stay on top, not let him beat us deep. And we did that. but they were able to play past us and get the ball in between us too consistently. For the most part, though, it was our inability to get them in the open field and minimize their gains. They made yards after the catch that did not need to happen. A couple times in the flat, a couple times over the middle. They'd add 15 yards to a play. That if those were kept to a minimum, we would have really been in control of the game much better than we were.
Is that where a lot of 306 yards on first down that they had yesterday? And as you evaluate it, was that one of the biggest culprits? Was just the inability on those early downs to tackle?
Yes, and it's primarily the play passes that they get out that they've been doing. We knew they were going to do them. We were going to hope we could get them down and get them on the ground, not give them easy plays like they've been getting. So they were able to chunk it underneath us and just wait. I think there's might have been 11 explosive pass plays in the game or something like that. So that's twice as many that should be allowed.
How advanced is their offense?
They're doing good stuff. They're doing really nice. They have a real basic, simple approach, and if you notice, they close down their formations, and that's what's unique, that they're content to continue to stay there, and they utilize that really well. It affects the edge rushers, and it affects their edge run game that they got on the edge a few times against us with the fly plays that were substantial, and then the play passes are a little unique because their guys get so far across the field because they're so close, and that's what they do, and we knew it, and we understand it, but we had to commit to the running game first, and that's why they got some more stuff than they should have.
Is that the difficulty there? The answer is to get underneath some of that at the second level, but if you get underneath it, then you're not stopping.
Well, like
the
always,
run.
You have to make him dump. No, you have to make him dump the ball off, and then you have to tackle him. That's you know, that we got spread out some. We put a lot of emphasis on the line of scrimmage with the big guys, getting after it to hopefully keep them from holding the football. They protected pretty well. They did a nice job of hanging on to us.
How'd Russell play?
Russell played a good football game, really good, really took advantage of the running game. He made a lot of adjustments in the runs and checks and stuff that helped us out, kept the tempo going where they had to use their timeouts, you know, because of tempo for the most part. And we missed some chances to go fast because they called timeout. And when he had his chances on the big ball, he hit everything. So it was a good, really good job by him. I thought he played a fantastic game.
I think it's the first time in his career he didn't have any carries in a game.
You know, they kept taking him away. That's why the other stuff was there. I mean, he had, I don't know, maybe 10 times he could have kept the football in by the design of the play, but they kept a guy for him, and he kept giving the ball off like he's supposed to. He played the game beautifully in that regard, didn't force any of them. He probably could have yanked a couple out and just tried to juke the guy, you know, like he's done in the past, yeah. But he didn't have to. Everything was rolling. We were 6 yards a pop, so it was okay.
I love seeing some of his creative plays that he made. Yeah. I felt like we hadn't seen as many of those this year so far. The little shuffle pass to Vanette.
Huge
and
play.
The touchdown to Moore.
Yeah.
What's it like when you see Russell start doing those things?
Oh, it's a joy because it's just – he shocks you with what he came up with, you know, the little flip he makes to Noe on the when he's just probably just hanging a shoelace behind at the line of scrimmage, you know, to be legal. But that was a great little flip, and so you know, they really, those are the plays that light you up because they just surprise you so much.
On the other hand, and this is one that I don't quite get because it seems like it's happened a lot, is after the play in the fourth quarter to Lockett, deep throw and you run up. And then you got to call timeout, or you had to take the delay game there because
false start.
It's technically a false start, but the clock's down to zero when the false start happens.
Yeah, we messed up the snap, and we just, you know, for whatever reason, I haven't figured out why that happened, but we didn't snap the ball in time, and so we flinched. So it that was a just such the wrong time to give them something right there. We're in beautiful position. The game is ours. They have no timeouts. We're going to smash it right at them and see if we can knock it down in closer. And, you know, we're just still going to try to score, but we're going to use the clock there, and we lost our opportunity, and then the next play got away, and away we go. The next play was the holding play.
Are the mechanics challenging after a long play like that of getting the next call in and getting up to the line of scrimmage?
Only that the clock starts after a short play or a long play in the same fashion. And so you're just given some of less time to function from the huddle to snap. But otherwise, no. You know, the big guys got to run all the way down the field. But we're in tune with that. There was a few times yesterday when the noise was such that Russ was having to be emphatic in the huddle, and you could see it took us a little longer than we normally would like to go, and he was having to repeat and just to make sure that it was clear. You know, it was nobody's fault. It was just a great environment.
Before we get to the end of the game, and I can just imagine everyone's like sitting in their car or in their cubicle, can we get to the timeouts? Can we get to the end of game mechanics? And we will in just a second. But the 12s yesterday, were, you know, we were just before you walked in here, I said, you know, this is an interesting year. There's a reset. There's a lot of familiar faces out. There's a turn in a lot of different ways, and wondering how the fans would respond to a lot of that newness. It felt yesterday in their three burn timeouts, their multiple false starts for a pretty good crew. It felt like yesterday were as impactful, those fans, 69,000, as they've ever been.
Yeah, I think I tried to make note of that, too. It was obvious that we were totally knit together. You know, everybody was on it and going for it, and they looked for their moments, and they elevated at their moments. And, you know, we were trying to play to them as well as we could, and it, by the calls we made even at times, just to keep it going, because it was you know, such a great factor.
Okay.
All right, what do you want to know?
All right, we got some questions. Everybody's got questions about the way this went down at the end of the game with the timeout.
Do you guys understand what happened?
We understand from a clock management perspective, absolutely. Yes. I mean, I think that, and that's the point that we've made all along, is you, when you, if I understand properly, you call that timeout to save the 35 seconds or so, because
we called that as soon as the play was over.
Right.
There was already a timeout called. So we had called that. Then when the clock got stopped, you know, then they come back and they say, you can let the clock run here, or you can, you know, hold on to that timeout. We'll give you the timeout back if you want it. And I said, no, we need that, the 33 seconds. We don't want to give them to them right now. There's not enough time left in our minds. There's not enough. We don't want to give them that time. We want to manage that time ourselves. So that's as simple as it was. And
Before we get to that, though, and there's a little gray that Izzy just walked through this a million different ways. But before that, what was the thought to not use them before the two-minute warning?
We would like to use those in our favor as much as we can. And it gives us benefit to have that timeout when we're past the two-minute warning, so that we can stop the clock judiciously whenever we need to, rather than have to be forced to be in that mode. When they know you have the timeout, that plays differently. They play differently. We can play differently. And so it's at our advantage to hold
on.
So
you think
that
it affects some of their play calling?
It certainly does, okay. Yeah. It does.
The conversation that we've heard from listeners and even some other members of this show who are remaining quiet at the moment is that it gave them the opportunity to be aggressive, that McVay was ready to go out and punt the ball and give you the ball back, and given the extra minute or so, he then had the opportunity to reconsider and do what was probably the smarter thing.
He had the opportunity to do it whenever he wanted to. It didn't have anything to do with when the timeout was called. He could have done it at the start. He second-guessed it and changed it, you know, I think. Cause, you know, not second-guessed it. He just chose not to, you know, not to kick it. We had to do it anyway. We needed all the time we could manage. And had we stopped them there, yeah, as we just stopped them on the play before, if we stopped them there, we get the ball midfield, and we're in command of the
game. They would argue and say, put the burden on them. They have zero timeouts. Right, they are in that moment there. They have no timeouts whatsoever. So at least let them see what they're going to. This is the argument, and I know this is all happening in real time, and it's a lot easier to talk through all of this stuff now. But their argument would be, put the burden and responsibility.
Who are we talking about? This ever-pervading they.
Oh, you know, just some of the folks out there, some of those that in the analytical world, or some of those that have an opinion, and just kind of evaluate that situation and say, why not put the burden on them? Their punt team was out there, and see if they're going to stay with the punt team.
They were already their players were winding the clock. Mm. They knew. Their guys that were on the field were giving the wind the clock signal to their punt team guys, to the officials. They already knew what was going on.
Do you think they would have rushed their Goff and crew back on the field? Or do you think they were going to punt the ball?
They were thinking punt the ball if we let the clock run. But when we didn't let the clock run, I think that's what, you know, they were content to give us a minute three, you know, and no timeouts, and try to hold on to it, you know, the win.
You think we're going to see more of this aggressiveness from some of the younger coaches as they come into the league, and there's been analytics done on these fourth downs inside even your own field?
The analytics are real, you know, and there's a guy from Arkansas, a little high school guy that really kicked everybody in the butt and said, you don't get it. This is the way to play the game. And I think he's opened some eyes. But there is some factors, you know, that really are worth, you know, measuring. And particularly when you're on the plus side of the field in fourth downs, you know, there's times. So, you know, in the olden days, back in the day in college, we were fourth down monsters, you know. And it's because we were so good and we were so confident in our ability to knock those things out, as well as be dominant. I mean, it was kind of, we kind of had it, you know, the way we wanted it, because we could stop them and we could, you know, we could make them. But that was a little easier then, is what I'm getting at. But it's a great factor, and the way we're starting to gain the momentum of running the football and controlling the line of scrimmage, this gives us the opportunity to do more and more of the bold things, because you believe in you have the ability to knock these things out, you know. So
let me just ask you one last thing on this, and then I'll move on, because I think there's other really cool parts to this game. But from your perspective, do you care whether he's going to punt or whether he's going to go for it on that? Do you have a preference?
Yeah, I'd rather have the ball.
You want him to punt?
Give us the ball, yeah. And it was short enough, you know, that they had a chance. We had played three gorgeous short yarded situations and knocked the heck out of them, you know, and on both goal lines, and then the one right there at midfield. So, and we went with the same call again. It's as aggressive a call as we could possibly make in that time. And they won the sneak, you know, is what it amounted to. So I was feeling okay about going and stopping them right there, too, you know. I mean, but they had shown they were going to kick us the football. Okay, let's go. Let's see what's happening. Let's go with 130, 133 or whatever it is. No timeouts. Russell, you know, have a shot at it. And so I was ready for that.
You think if you're in that situation, you make that same call? Or at least what
Absolutely.
Factors? What factors?
Yeah, it's the ball factor. That's how you play. It's the right way to do it. You don't think they're going to make a mistake and kick the ball fast, you know? And so I'd rather play with 130 and try to stop them. We got to go for it, too. We got to go for it on defense, too. I mean, look at it the other way. You know, the big, bold move they make. We shot everybody we had in every gap to hit the sneak, you know, and with the free safety up in there as well to take that shot. So we went for it. They went for it. They got it. And you know, they get to win.
What kind of day did Tedrick Thompson have?
He did some really good things. He missed some opportunities in open field. You know, he didn't clean up on some of it. Needs to clean up on some of his tackles. The slant route that got away was about another 20. You know, there's some big, big yardage in there that he could clean up. But he is active. He was on it. Almost had a pick down earlier. And just looked very comfortable playing out there. He played very smart. He just didn't quite make the tackles. But he wasn't the only one. We missed some tackles in the open field out there in all the big space that we were in. And he just needs to clean it up.
Is that what they try to do? They try to get you into some of that space and force those one-on-one tackles?
They certainly try to use Gurley in the flat and get him out there. And they know that if he's out there, it's really difficult to get him down. And Bobby did a great job in one that he had him on the sidelines to give him no extra yards. But it was hard on some of the other guys.
As a seventh-round pick and a guy who has essentially been around the league and no one really else wanted him this offseason, how much attitude do Chris Carson and Mike Davis bring to the running game?
It's really obvious. And you know, I've always loved Chris and hoped that he would look like this way back when. And, you know, there's the flavor that he adds to it that is reminiscent of what it's been like, you know, and the willingness to just keep driving his feet and keep, you know, head gunking guys to get down that field and get another yard or two, you know, that's something that's important to us. It's important to the makeup of the team. And you see our guys light up and jump up and being, you know, be affected by his nature. So, and then Mike's got this suddenness to him, you know, and he's creative and he's going for it. You know, he ain't holding nothing back. So they just, the 1-2 of those guys, and then we haven't got Rashad in the mix yet. Well, he gets going, you know, so we're in a pretty good spot right now. We're just getting going. It's just unfortunate that here we are. It's 2-3 and we're just, you know, we're really on the way now, you know, so, but we're excited about it. It's a long season. A lot of stories are going to happen. We have no idea how it's going to go. I mean, look where the Niners were, then look what happened with their cube. You know, things just happen, you know, and so you never know what's going to happen with the season. You just keep on rolling and getting better.
Hey, just for my own curiosity, as much as anything else, in these end of game moments, clock management decisions you have to make, how early are those conversations being had on the headsets? So when you got to punt the ball and you got to punt them back, you know, what is that? Is there already some formulation of, you know, how is this going to look, and how many voices are there in those conversations?
We were like so far ahead that we were talking with the defense before the offense even got the ball. I was already talking to the defense about that last series, their last 2-minute series. We were recapping what they had done in the 2-minute op they had earlier in the game to register exactly how they had gone about it. I mean, we were a long ways ahead of that one. So the guys had time to think it through. Evaluate the sequence and then evaluate how we wanted to go at it to try and counter it. So that's about as, you know, you can't get too much farther ahead than that, but that's a good illustration of it. And so I'm talking to the guys, I'm giving them kind of the direction. Okay, go get this figured out, go through the D&D. Let's see, when did they run it in the 2 minutes? Let's see what's happening. And then so Kenny could be right on it and anticipate. So that's the kind of stuff we're doing.
Is it okay that I'm really excited to watch the Seahawks against Marshawn Lynch on Sunday?
That's
like,
okay.
I'm really excited about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you guys thought at all about that?
Well, it's kind of natural, you know. Yeah, we're all taking this big trip, and we're going out there. It's as equal as you can get, and it's how you compete your way through the transitions and the challenges and all that kind of stuff, and playing in foreign lands and all that. You know, it's going to be fun. I'm sure Marshawn is going to be big in the UK.
I think he's opening a store there. I heard he wants to start one in London.
Shop. Beast Mode.
He might have one of those little carts with T-shirts and stuff on it.
I think I know the answer to this, but I'd love to hear it from your perspective. That game you guys played offensively, that game should travel. That game, no matter who you play, where you play, opponent.
That's what I'm excited about. It doesn't matter where we're going or who we're playing against. That's how we would like to play. We played it really as close to what we wanted to do as it could have been. Mm-hmm. And third downs were beautiful. No turnovers again. We ran the football. We ran the ball in short yards. We ran the ball in the goal line. All of those things. Russ was you know, big percentage and big played them. The receivers came through downfield. The protection was there when we needed it. It was really, and we took care of some highlighted players for the most part as well. So we did some really, really good things. It was by far the best complete effort by the offense.
Any chance to get KJ back for Sunday?
Yeah, I don't know what the update is today. I got to see how the weekend turned out. I don't know. I wish I could tell you.
And other than that, it seemed like you didn't really have injuries.
Well, it was
game.
A really fascinating game. I went to Sam Ramsden during the third quarter. I said, is anybody having any problems? No, nobody. And it was just, we went in the locker room after that game, and it just was one of those games that everybody just came through. Now, our guys will be banged up a little bit today in the aftermath, but we're very, very fortunate.
Yeah, when you initiate that kind of contact, sometimes the initiator
it's better being a hitter instead of the hitter.
It's hard for Fluker to get hurt when he's lying on top of Ndamukong Suh on the first touchdown. So, yeah. Coach, it was a really interesting game to watch. It's going to be a fun one to talk about this week. Enjoy London. Enjoy the long trip, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. There you go. There's Coach Carroll. We'll be back with you guys tomorrow morning, 7 a.m., to talk all about that. Until then, hey.
Barn.
See everybody.
Get to the chopper!